Appointment Committee, Human Resources Subcommittee, June 1st, 1999, Karen Moonhouse.
Of Ways and Means, Human Resources. Human Resource Subcommittee is the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
That's who we are.
And this afternoon, we're going to have a work session on Senate Bill 5526, which is a long-term care ombudsman. And so I will let John Britton, our legislative fiscal officer, run through his recommendations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'd refer you to a handout that I provided each of you that has five recommendations and some bullets under the first recommendation. Let me start in by working on the first one. We recommend that three budget packages that are included in the governor's recommended budget be included in the 9901 long-term care ombudsman budget. These three packages are as follows. Package 101 would provide about $10,000 of other funding for a reclassification of the ombudsman position. The Human Resources Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services reviewed and approved the reclassification. Package 104.
Madam Chair, 30. This is for one person. It's $10,083 in case of two.
Madam Chair.
One person.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, it is for one person, but it is for 2 years. Biennial amount.
Oh.
Package 104 would provide $5,182 of additional funding for Attorney General legal services. The current biennial estimate for these expenditures is about $7,440, and this package would increase the 9901 budget to about $6,700.
Madam Chair.
Senator,
thank you. Why is Attorney General involved at this level? Because I think the ombudsman goes out, monitors the nursing home situations, monitors services for the senior residents, and they report to Senior Disabled Services Department in case there are problems. So I don't understand why our Attorney General is involved at this beginning level.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, I'll call your attention to their budget book, page 85, where it talks about this policy package 104. And in the second paragraph, about midway down, I'll read one sentence. It is not uncommon for providers to involve their attorneys in the initial phases of challenging an ombudsman's activities. As part of its mandate, the agency must ensure adequate access to legal counsel to assist representatives of the agency in the performance of their official duties. So it sounds from this write-up as if providers may be having attorneys be involved earlier in the process, even before the cases are referred to SDSC for further action if necessary.
I thought their function is to monitor and report complaints to SDSC. So why should they be Attorney General involved?
I could partially answer that.
Mm-hmm. Rather than wait for it and asking the questions.
Yes, so that's my question.
Why is the Attorney General involved?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair,
Fisher?
Actually, this is a separate agency, totally from are a separate entity totally from FDSD, and they do handle their own things, and their report is to the federal government, not to necessarily to FDSD, not that they don't coordinate with FDSD, but they have their own function and have their own needs to follow their cases through. Just the same as FDSD would if they were the ones that got the complaint first.
Did that answer your question, Senator Yu?
Well, this is different from my understanding. Can we hear from the agency? Why are they involved? Are they going to report to the federal government, or do they report
there? Well, I think that, Senator Yu, I think this actually talks about why we need attorney general fees, which is different than reporting to the federal government. This is saying that providers get an attorney once an OMSA person says that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the long-term, this agency needs the availability of attorney general fees. But if you'd like to come forward and...
Madam Chair, we have a budget note that is being recommended that would have them report to the leader also during the interim, so that has been a key to pass.
Meredith Cody.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Meredith Cody, and I'm the director of the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. To address Senator Yee's question, first let me begin by saying we use very little attorney general services. In fact, if you talk to the attorney general, we have to be their most low-use client. We only had about $2,000 allocated to us for the biennium, which is $1,000 a year. The way that we use those is there are occasions, for example, I'll give you one example was an ombudsman was visiting a facility, and somewhere along the line there was an employee issue in that facility where the employee sued the facility. It was a workers' issue between the employee and the facility. Well, the ombudsman was subpoenaed by the facility to appear at a deposition just to say what they knew about the issues. And we had to provide legal representation for that ombudsman for their participation in that deposition. They didn't cause the activity. And that alone was, that one thing was, I think, about $1,500 doesn't take much. And so there are occasions, for example, when we have to, because a provider may be challenging an interpretation of a statute that we operate under, we may have to go back to our attorney and say, what is the attorney general's take on how this should be interpreted? So those are the kinds of things that we use, and it's only as sort of a last resort when the agency is brought into issues where they need some kind of legal opinion.
So this ombudsman that, for instance, came forward or had to come for a deposition, either deposition, really it had nothing to do with the ombudsperson at all. Just the fact that ombudsperson had been there in that facility and observed.
Madam Chair, yes. Well, at some point, that ombudsman had been in communication with that staff member and knew who she was, and the attorney for the facility just wanted to explore the extent of, I wasn't present myself at the deposition, but wanted to explore issues around that, because I think one of the things that the employee was alleging as a result of her termination had to do with the fact that she had made a complaint to either FDSC or our agency and was being terminated for that. So they then subpoenaed our ombudsman to respond.
I see. Okay. So it did happen.
Madam Chair, then Meredith, does it need to increase from 2,000 to 6,700? You're increasing it by almost 3.5 times.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, it's been flatlined at about 2,000 for a long time, and we just find that we're struggling to be able to just get laws interpreted with the $2,000 line item. Another thing that's part of this is that there were certain things that used to come about from our relationship with the Attorney General. For example, agencies used to have 30 minutes of free legal advice every month. And that was very helpful for us because I could just call and run something by. Well, that's been eliminated. And the attorneys in the Justice Department are encouraged to bill like private practitioners. And so there's not much leeway for anything that isn't billable. So we find that that has increased our cost just because the relationship has become more formalized.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll go to the next.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. Package 103 in the governor's recommended budget would provide $17,665 other funds for information system enhancements. These include linking the agency to the state's computer network and making the internet and email available at every state workstation. The agency's volunteers, as well as long-term care providers, would have better access to central office staff. The Department of Administrative Services Information Resources and Management Division reviewed and approved the agency's request. The second major recommendation on my list is to recommend a general fund reduction of $23,783 and an increase of the same amount in other funds. This is simply an attempt to get some general fund savings from the budget, and our analysis shows that the agency has sufficient other fund ending balance to backfill the general fund reduction. My understanding is that after this was done, the agency would still have about $25,000 of other funds remaining.
Any questions? Okay, next item.
The third recommendation is a similar backfilling kind of recommendation. This is to backfill $99,169 of general fund with $132,245 other funds. The other funds represent an increase in Federal Older Americans Act funding that is matched through the Senior and Disabled Services Division and then returned to the Long-Term Care Ombudsman as other funds.
Senator
Shields? Just for clarification, this is that SDSD money that some of us have quipped about being that 8 nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm wondering where this money comes
from. Madam Chair and Senator Shields, it's not the Medicare upper limit. It is simply an increase in the Older Americans Act funding for this particular kind of state program.
And that has to be available.
Yes, that's correct, Senator Shields.
Thank you.
Is this the only use to which this particular set of Older American Act funding could be applied?
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, it has to be used for ombudsman kinds of programs.
Senator Yee, coming on the case. So how does it work? Because I see we increased $90,000 in general fund. So if it's a 25%, 75% net 1-3, we should get $270,000 back in general fund.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, the simple answer to the question is that they are not matching all of the general fund in their budget with Older Americans Act dollars or federal Medicaid funds. That's another source of a federal match. In this case, they are, however, matching on a 3-to-1 basis the general fund that is already in their budget that's not being matched. They're using that to match the additional Older Americans Act funding.
Okay.
So we didn't get all the federal match we could get.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, we did get all the federal match that we could get because there's a limited amount of Older Americans Act funds that are available. So this budget that I'm recommending would take in all the available federal Older Americans Act funds.
I see. Another question.
Sorry.
Well, the increase in general fund is about 90,000. So you show 99,000.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, the increases are due to a lot of things to get to the current service level. And if you flip over to page 3 in this packet, you'll see that the legislatively approved budget for the current biennium is about $577,310. And that's the first shaded line.
Oh, I see.
And then there are a number of adjustments, roll-up of salary increases that were granted in 97-99. There were some PERS adjustments. So there are a variety of things going on here as far as general fund increases to get to the current service level and the printed governor's recommended budget.
Oh, that's how you get the 99,000.
Well, no, that's, Madam Chair and Senator Yee, that's how we get to the current service level of $660,000.
Okay, so I'm going
here. Here, right.
Senator Shields?
The following on that page, the third line from the bottom is the actual general fund of Older American Act, right? That 99 out, 132 in. On that total funds line, why does that only read 33? Why isn't that the total of the 132?
Madam Chair and Senator Shields, it's the addition of those two. So we're reducing general fund by 99 and adding 132, so the net increase is 33076. But let me try and confuse you a little bit more if I can.
Well enough for me
right today. One thing that you need to understand about this budget is that whenever the long-term care ombudsman sends a dollar, for example, a general fund to FDSD, that dollar is counted as a piece of the expenditure limitation. So, for example, if I, being the long-term care ombudsman, send FDSD a dollar and they match it with $2, and they return the $2 to me, my expenditure limitation is $3. The one that I paid to FDSD initially, the $2 that I get back and then pay to my staff and for the program expenses. So that's why there's a difference between the 99 and the 132. The difference is the payment to the FDSD.
I guess I'm just trying to be logical here. If you go to the second line from the top, the legislatively approved budget line there, it says administrative biennialized keyboard. You see that?
Yes.
It has 17.8 and 68.9. You add the two up for 86.8.
Right.
So why aren't you adding the same way down at the bottom here with a 99? Okay, that's a negative, but you got 132.
What's a positive?
Which is a positive.
We take 99 from 132 and it equals 33.
Yes, in the first line you're adding two positive figures, and the bottom line you're adding a negative. Positive.
Right.
But it still doesn't sound like you end up with total funds for less than what the other funds are. I mean, you've actually shipped this money away. Right?
Madam Chair and Senator Shields, what we're doing here is we're replacing $99,000 of general fund with $132,000 of other funds. They happen to be Older Americans Act dollars.
But that's not the $132,000 of total funds. I don't understand.
No, it's
have to subtract the 99.
Okay.
And we're reducing. And in order to actually get the total funds down here, you have to give the real. You know, you can't. You couldn't add. You have to subtract 99 from your 32.
Let's just take your word.
Because it's a net amount.
The one, Madam Chair and Senator Shields, the one right above it, where we're just doing a direct backfill of general fund with other funds, the net is zero.
It has zero
total funds effect.
Okay.
And the same thing happens on the fund shift of the last line of the legislatively approved budget, where you see 54,795 minus 26,988 equals 27,807.
Right. Okay.
Madam Chair, just for clarity on the 23,783, what is that source of other funds? Is that also Older American Tax, or what is that?
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, it isn't. It's other fund balance, but the sources of those funds were, I believe, a legal settlement that the agency got some piece of. Recommendation 4 is a reduction in the Attorney General hourly rate, $10 general fund, $135 of other funds. And the 5th recommendation are 2 budget notes, and they are on the second page of this package. The budget notes, the first one in particular, has its origins with a request from Representative Winters to strengthen a bill that she is advocating for, which is House Bill 3285, which would create an interim committee to study long-term care ombudsmen, but all ombudsman functions within state government, and make recommendations to the next legislative assembly about that. This budget note would recommend that the Joint Legislative Audit Committee conduct a review of all ombudsman functions within Oregon state government. The subcommittee suggests the review identify the various ombudsman functions, assess the costs for each function, and discuss the efficacy of combining the functions into a central ombudsman's office. Now, if Representative Winter's bill passed and became law, it might not be necessary for the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to do this, because that bill has an interim committee to do almost the exact same thing. But she has requested this budget note be included in this budget, and we probably will see it in the Department of Human Resources budget, because they have an ombudsman function within DHR as well.
Madam Chair. I assume, based on that last comment, John, that this note would then be going on any budget that has any kind of an ombudsman position, regardless of which subcommittee.
Madam Chair and Representative Strobeck, that's our intention, but there are some budgets that have already passed out and may have even been signed by the governor that have some kind of ombudsman function that don't have this budget note, but our intent is to get this budget note into any ombudsman kind of budget that we have left.
Okay.
Good point.
Follow-up?
Yes, Senator.
Then the substantive bill may be the more appropriate place to offer this input, but I think this is a very good suggestion. In fact, I would encourage the elimination of the word ombudsman. I don't know that the rest of the world particularly understands that. I think we'd be much better off to have a category that says public advocate or even complaint department that just somehow provides a more clear opening for people who have some sort of a complaint or a problem to access state government and then be directed to the appropriate entity. Who knows among the general public which agency has an ombudsman, who doesn't? I think that's a great idea. And clarifying that even more by eliminating this archaic word, I think would be further helpful.
Madam Chair, Representative, welcome. I also think this would be a good move. However, I don't think I'd like it to say it's a complaint department, because I think that puts a pretty negative spin on those ombudsman's functions. Sometimes it's a positive approach. They go there to speak to patients and to clients and cheer them up. And I think otherwise we're going to put that, hey, you have to go out there and find a complaint to justify your existence. And I don't think I think we're putting a wrong spin, but I like the concept, but I wouldn't like that name.
Mm-hmm. Liaison or advocate or...
Yeah. I think public advocate.
Public advocate.
Makes the best sense.
Okay. Further comments on that budget note? Okay.
The second budget note that I'm including with my recommendations is a requirement for the long-term care ombudsman to report annually to the Interim Health and Human Services Committee Administrator beginning with this October on its yearly activities. The report will include a description of the sources and types of complaints received by the agency, how the complaints were resolved, including the timeliness of disposition, and an analysis of systemic issues the agency believes are important. And I work with Representative Winters somewhat on this, as well as Senator Fisher. The intent here is not to simply have Ms. Cody talk to the administrator, but to report or provide a copy of the report to the administrator so that it can be scheduled in front of the committee as soon as possible, hopefully in October, but as soon thereafter as possible.
Madam Chair, I was wondering if this didn't kind of go along with Representative Loken's comment too, because the report seems to be centered around complaints. You know, as if the reporting of complaints is the only thing that the office would do. Maybe the report could be couched in terms of not just the complaints received by the agency, but, you know, those positives as well. Am I missing something here?
Well, I think that one of the issues has been the issue of complaints with providers, and that's why I think this particular budget note was asked for, because they did want to deal with what are the complaints, how have they been resolved, and how timely, and are there systemic things that need to be looked at. I understand what you're saying too, Senator, but I do think that the emphasis in this case did have to do with complaints. And I don't know, Senator Fisher, if you have any comments about that particularly.
Well, I think the concern, Madam Chair, was largely that there hasn't been a particular report or any mechanism to report back to the legislature in prior times. In discussing this budget note, we looked at the timeliness and times of when they made their report to the federal government. This should allow them to just recap that and give it to the legislature so that they don't have to make something new. And that was primarily something that we wanted to do. We didn't want to give them extra work to do, but there was concern that reports were not given to the facilities immediately, but someone can come back 2 or 3 days later or something like that. When something was quite difficult to check out, maybe the same person wasn't on duty, and so forth, where it could have been taken care of, brought to attention immediately. And I think this was an attempt to try to get some of that information and find out how many of the percentages and so forth were being taken care of almost immediately or on the spot, basically, and others, you know, what's the track level was on some of these things. Plus, there was some feeling, I think, that John Busman also was generating an awful lot of the complaints themselves, not just dealing with complaints that were generated. And so this should provide some of that kind of influence or that kind of information to the process. And I think, again, that this will be an education process both for the Ombudsman's Office and for those that are interested in or have perhaps criticism of the agency, and allow them to look at the facts and figures and see and judge for themselves as to whether it's being operated properly. And I think in most cases, education and a lot of these, the opportunity to be educated and have that information is better than to not have it available. And I think this will kill half the problems probably that are generated or more without even having to go further. And so this was something that we kind of worked around and talked about with the LFO and Representative Winters, that had some considerable ombudsman experience in the past to draw on and helped out some. And we worked with the ombudsman, current ombudsman.
Positive as well. Am I missing something here?
Well, I think that one of the issues has been the issue of complaints with providers, and that's why I think this particular budget note was asked for, because they did want to deal with what are the complaints, how have they been resolved, and how timely, and are there systemic things that need to be looked at. I understand what you're saying too, Senator, but I do think that the emphasis in this case did have to do with with complaints. And I don't know, Senator Fisher, if you have any comments about that particularly.
Well, I think the concern, Madam Chair, was largely that there hasn't been a particular report or any mechanism to report back to the legislature in prior times. In discussing this budget note, we looked at the timeliness and time of when they made their report to the federal government. This should allow them to just recap that and give it to the legislature so that they don't have to make something new. And that was primarily something that we wanted to do. We didn't want to give them extra work to do, but there was concern that reports were not given to the facilities immediately, that someone could come back 2 or 3 days later or something like that. When something was quite difficult to check out, maybe the same person wasn't on duty and so forth, where it could have been taken care of, brought to attention immediately. And I think this was an attempt to try to get some of that information and find out how much, how many of the percentages and so forth were being taken care of almost immediately or on the spot, basically, and others, you know, with the track level was on some of these things. Plus, there was some feeling, I think, that the ombudsman also was generating an awful lot of the complaints themselves, not just dealing with complaints that were generated. So this should provide some of that kind of influence or that kind of information to the process. And I think, again, that this will be an education process both for the ombudsman's office and for those that are interested in or have perhaps criticism of the agency, and allow them to look at the facts and figures and see and judge for themselves as to whether it's being operated properly. And I think in most cases, education and a lot of these, the opportunity to be educated and have that information is better than to not have it available. And I think this will kill half the problems probably that are generated or more without even having to go further. And so this was something that we kind of worked around and talked about with the LFO and Representative Winters, that had some considerable ombudsman experience in the past to draw on and helped out some. And we worked with the ombudsman, current ombudsman, and others in this process. And I think this is a good, something that is good and not particularly expensive, or something that demand a lot of extra time. My information is that they have this information on the computers, and it's not that difficult for them to draw up. So.
Senator Shield?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Fisher, I understand. I just raised the question.
Right. And
I've talked to Representative Winters about her ombudsman experience. My contention is that all too often reports just always focus around the complaint, and, you know, everything ends up couched in terms of negatives and complaints. I was just raising the issue.
And actually, I think you raised a good issue. I'd love to hear from the ombudsman's office that there are good things to tell about what's happening in long-term care. And I think, unfortunately, I think they do focus on complaints. If we have some good news, I think it would be good to hear that too, that we've got people doing a good job. But their function actually is sort of a protective function, and because of that, I mean, we do want to hear the good things, but we certainly want to cure anything that's happening out there, or try to fix it. So.
Well, the reason that I brought it up is that I feel that we should promote less of an adversarial approach to the ombudsman function. And in my county, we've had some real tender feelings that resulted in sensitive situations as a result of maybe some of those regulations which have nothing to do with the ombudsman. But then when you have a lot of complaints in addition, and the adult providers are doing the best to keep up with them all, and then they get, you know, some of the complaints that are maybe not always too necessary, maybe, or needed a little bit. It could have worked a little more closely with the provider to resolve, but instead bypass the provider and go talk to someone else, and you know how that goes, and you get everybody in the picture. But I agree, you have to really monitor the homes and make sure that our people there are getting the best possible care they can have. But I hesitate to couch this in terms that promote a real confrontational or adversarial.
Let me ask you there, do you think that that's the way it looks?
Well, a little bit with that. Complaints, but trying to think of another word that could be used that would be cover both sides of the
Representative
Max. Manager, I don't want to belabor this too much, but I do think that most times people call an advocate or an ombudsman when they have, if not a complaint, at least a question about something.
Okay.
And I think this third point in analysis of systemic issues the agency believes are important sort of is a catch-all for and anything else besides complaints. So I sort of see that as the complaints and other categories.
And other issues?
And other issues or something. But I do have a question about the why would we ask the report to be given to the committee administrator rather than to the committee? Everything I'm familiar with interim committees, we say give it to the committee. The administrator obviously gets it, and you know, in cooperation with the chair, schedules it. I don't know why we would tell the have the budget note directed to the committee administrator.
Madam Chair, I'm a guilty party on that one, and I did that because I wanted to make sure there was somebody for them to give it to. And sometimes when we're in between the session and interim, you don't always have a chair appointed by the time, by October. And therefore, those are not continual committees. Therefore, it would be available to the administrator. It could be there. It could be sent out then to
from that office, and the office is here. And
but that is who they would send it to, even if they were sending it to the committee. That is who it would go to. And then the administrator would pass it on to the chair and the members. And,
right.
And then the chair presumably would schedule a time to actually hear the results
from
the report.
Yeah, Madam Chair, my preference would be to not put the administrator in the position of being somebody who is the recipient of a report. I want to make sure that the legislator or the committee chair, once appointed or whatever, becomes the responsible recipient of this report, and the administrator is simply the person who helps facilitate its presence on the agenda.
Okay.
Would you like, Madam Chair, to have something on there that annually to in October to the
Health and Human Services Committee?
Period.
Let me use the word administrator.
Right.
That's what makes it happen. Mm-hmm. Take the apostrophe off the committee.
Right. And we want
but it would be both and...
Yeah, we left the plural, or first plural, because...
I'm saying the apostrophe.
They're not always joint.
Right.
Committee.
Madam Chair, then the budget note, or the first part of the budget note would read, the long-term care ombudsman shall report annually in October to the Interim Health and Human Services Committees, beginning with the 9901 biennium on its yearly activities.
Correct.
All right.
Well, I was thinking of something that perhaps you would have include complaints, but also include something, an additional phrase, and suggestions for improvement. Something that would...
It's still dealing with a negative.
Somewhere.
Well, Madam Chair, that's the whole basis for the report, because we do call these things complaints. They are filed as complaints. If they were not a complaint, there wouldn't be any worry about it. If it was, you know, nobody would particularly care if it was just always...
I'd like to hear the good things.
Well, yeah, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, it's not the good things that people are questioning. It's the complaints. This gets the complaints out in the open so people can look at them, so that they can see how they were handled and so forth, and it makes it available to people. And I don't know how else to do it, and I guess, you know, I think back of what Kissinger said, that the absence of criticism was precious.
Exactly. I think what the senator is trying to accomplish here is actually a report that is regarding the complaints, so that something can be done about those. It isn't saying that that's the only function of the ombudsman's office, but that for purposes of this committee, they would like to hear about what the complaints are and how they were resolved. And I mean, you know, it does. I understand what you're saying, but it would be difficult to place in this report an actual...
Perhaps the analysis of systemic issues that the agency believes
are important.
Maybe there's room there for a little broader view.
Right.
You know, Madam Chair, what Representative Loken is saying brings up a situation, and I know what she's talking about intimately, because when you read these reports, they're full of the AP this, the AV this, and it's the alleged perpetrator. You know, it just has a bad connotation, and it's the alleged victim.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got the perpetrator and the victim, and they're all outlined, and the perpetrator is the caregiver or the person involved in giving the care, and the victim, of course, is the resident. And instead of alleged resident or alleged caregiver, like this, you know, you've got terms there that when it's written out on the pink slip and abbreviated, it isn't something that is very, how should I put it? Maybe I should go the other way. It's demoralizing to the people that have worked very, very hard to try to give good care when they find themselves held the less perpetrators and the people that they care for. And in most cases, it's all quite a feeling of fondness for
in the process of taking care of them as a victim. I've seen folks reduce the years just over that very issue.
But I don't know how that can actually be written differently. They're probably using legal terms or whatever, the terms they've been. It's awful, but.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't see any reason why you have to get so legal in this thing. I don't see why you couldn't have the resident and the caregiver or the certified nurse assistant or the adult foster care home operator or something like that. I mean, we wouldn't have to add in a whole lot of legal jargon in this, I wouldn't think necessarily, in order to get it to get the.
Here's our answer. Meredith
Cody, Director of the Ombudsman Office. This came from Kathy Walters, who's with me, so I don't want to take credit. But one of the ways that we report our information, first, I'd like to say, in our program, we don't use the terms alleged perpetrator and alleged victim. That is a protective services term, and we don't relate to it either. They're residents in our vernacular as well. But one of the ways we could do it, instead of saying complaints, is say cases. Because another way, part of how we report to the federal government is that we talk about cases. And cases doesn't carry a connotation of negative or positive. It just is. It's what we work on. We work on cases that involve individuals and their problems or their whatever. That might be an alternative. We can give it to you any way that you'd like it, but that might make it less one-sided.
Does that sound? It sounds better to me.
Mm-hmm. It does. I think that's moving in the right direction. You know, it could cases or maybe including problems and how they've been resolved.
Well, even if you've changed the word cases to complaints,
types
to say
cases.
The report will include a description of the sources and types of cases received by the agency, how the cases were resolved, and an analysis of the systemic issues. Does that sound correct?
I'm perfectly agreeable.
Sounds good to me.
Again, I think the educational process, and we discussed some of that also between myself and Ms. Cokie when we talked about that, of getting together more and having a better communication between those of us involved in the Health and Human Services Committee chairs in the legislature and their organization and also their council. So I'm perfectly agreeable to any way we can do this to make it less conflictive or less adversary or less negative, however you want to put it, is fine with me. I certainly am.
Well, the chair would move then that we change this budget now to reflect what we've just talked about in removing the word complaint and replacing it with cases in both of the cases that the word complaint is used on the fourth line as it appears on our sheet here. And then we would also eliminate the word administrator on the second line. So is there a discussion about that?
No, Madam Chair, just a comment. It probably would not be wise for me to disagree with the Chair in this particular situation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you have no suggestion, I'm happy to
take. No, I appreciate it. I think this is great. Again, it shows that you get a little more quality out of something when more people have a little chance to have an input into it. And I'd like to thank all the folks that worked on it and helped us on the committee here, too, for making it better.
And Representative Strobeck, I just want to go back to the first budget note and clarify. Did you actually want to change anything in that budget note, or were you just offering a suggestion that we, as we go down the road, get rid of the archaic ombudsman?
That was the latter was my primary intent. I didn't want to suggest a language to change this one.
Okay.
I think, like I said, that it's more appropriate in the substantive bill to talk about that.
Okay. Well,
Madam Chair, I'm all done with my message.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Senator, Representative Strobeck.
I move that we accept the recommendations of the LFO as outlined on the cover sheet and the changes to budget note number 2 that you described.
Okay.
And move it to the full
with
the due pass recommendation.
Representative Strobeck has moved the legislative fiscal office recommendation as found on the cover sheet, memo, for the long-term care ombudsman budget, Senate Bill 5526, with the 2 budget notes and the changes to the 2nd budget note as we have discussed to the full committee with the due pass recommendation discussion. Okay, Representative Ross.
I apologize for being out of the room, but I have no objection to any of these things. I just wanted to double check, were there any of these recommendations that the agency had serious difficulty with being able to accommodate? My impression is from your discussion and from your responses that these are things that they can live with and can work with.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, I can't speak for the agency in that regard. I would note that the Older Americans Act recommendation to backfill general fund is not what was recommended back on the 1st of February when we had a public hearing on this budget. That at that point in time, the agency was talking about enhancements to the program. So,
but at the same time, as I understood, your explanation of it, I mean, we are not enhancing this budget. We're holding it even.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, that's correct.
And these Older American funds were not really available for other activities. In other words, you didn't take these Older American funds away from other activities for seniors to put in here.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, no, I didn't.
Thank you. Representative Logan. A quick question. Package 101 provides $10,082 for reclassification of that position. Does that include, is that for their mileage and expenses? Is that what we're paying for in that? Or how do we pay them for the mileage?
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, it is simply an upward reclassification of the ombudsman position, so it's increased in salary and other payroll expenses. It does not have any kind of mileage or payment for that in this package 101.
So is mileage paid in addition to this one?
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, my assumption is that the ombudsman, if she traveled anywhere, would be reimbursed for her travel expenses. That's my assumption. So,
there's a lot of travel connected with that position in some situations.
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, yes, that's right, there is.
Madam Chair. Yeah, I wanted to clarify this conflict of interest as I am an owner operator and administrator and subject to the ombudsman's office.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. All right. If there's no further discussion, is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 5526 is passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Fisher, would you carry?
Yes.
Okay. On the full committee.
I will.
Okay.
And
I need a help. And would you like to carry it on the floor?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do we have a volunteer for the House?
Jane, I can.
I'm excuse me, Representative Wilkinson.
Happy to do this.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, committee members. With that, we are adjourned. Tomorrow we will not be here because...